Time for us to start our service tonight, page 229. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Let's all stand, page 229. Since I have been redeemed.
I have a song I long to sing, since I have been redeemed of my Redeemer, Savior, King. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a Christ that satisfies, since I have been redeemed. To do his will, my his price, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a witness bright and clear, since I have been redeemed. Dispelling every doubt and fear, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a home prepared for me, since I have been redeemed. Where I shall dwell eternally, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name.
Well, I praise the Lord that we have sunlight longer. Isn't that wonderful? That sunlight, praise the Lord for that. Now, in the wintertime, it'd be starting to get dark. So, praise the Lord, we have sunlight. It's so wonderful to be able to be out and enjoy this beautiful day. God is so good for us, isn't he? And good to have us be able to meet together and fellowship together. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin this evening. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for the little moisture that we received this afternoon. We know that all things come by your hand, and Lord, we know that you're a great and an awesome God. Lord, tonight we pray that as we worship you, as we fellowship, as we get a chance just to express our gratitude to you, Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased with what is said and what is done. May Jesus Christ be exalted and lifted up. And Lord, we thank you tonight that you would speak to us in a special way. Lord, we just pray all these things. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. We are so glad that you're here this evening. Just a couple of announcements. Don't forget that in the back we have the sign-up sheet. If you'd like to help the young people, if you'd like to hire a teen or a young person or a teen so that they can go to camp, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. If you've got some, you know, some logs to split, and you've got some trees to fall, and you've got some, you know, a grader, you want to grade some area, that's all available. No, we're not going to turn the kids loose on some of that stuff. They'd probably like it. But please note that there's a sign-up sheet there in the back. Don't forget for the ladies' garden party also. It's coming up this next Saturday on May 8th at 12:30 at our house. The cost is $5. Please be sure and come. Invite somebody to come. If you have not signed up, be sure and sign up in the back. Amanda, are you taking money again? Okay, so you can give Amanda money on that. And then we have Mother's Day next week. Soul winning on Saturday at 10 o'clock. So please be sure and note that. That's for the guys. The guys will be going out. Ladies will be doing all their planning and stuff like that. So guys will be going out soul winning at the regular time, trying to get the gospel out to some more people in our area. We always need to sow seed. Amen. That's why we have tracts. People say, well, can we take some of those tracts? Yeah, as long as you give them out. Take some of those, and you can put them out there. And when you're going to a restaurant or you're going to buy gas, you can always put it in the gas gas register thing there and all that. It's an opportunity to get the gospel out. You never know what God can do. Amen? And I pray that God would use that in a special way. Let's stand. We'll sing our chorus of the month. I think we have the chorus of the month up there. Change My Heart, O God. We're going to sing that one tonight. Let's all stand and sing that one more time. And that's a good song, isn't it? We need our hearts to be changed. God is the one that can do that for us. And I pray that he would do that as we sing that tonight. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. That is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Turn around, smile at those around you, welcome them tonight, and praise the Lord. Amen. Go. Ready? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And tonight we have another song. Brother Scott's going to come and lead us. Page number 396. Oops, that's AM. How about if we go to 356? Amen. All right. Yes, 356. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. He's there to listen, and I pray that we'd listen.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear the burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will be. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is the kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to envy allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. We can tell our burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ and be confident of the fact that Jesus Christ can help us with our needs and our burdens. Take your Bibles tonight as we look into God's Word. Genesis chapter number 42. Genesis chapter number 42. Genesis chapter number 42 tonight. We want to read verses 25 down through verse number 28. Genesis chapter 42, verses 25 down through verse number 28. It says, Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them portions for the way, and thus he did unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored. Lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? Let's pray. Dear Father, tonight as we come to thy word, Lord, we realize the importance of realizing that you're a great God and a good God. And Lord, when we walk with you and we do what's right and pleasing, Lord, we don't have to fret and worry and stew about punishment coming down the road. But Lord, we can look and consider the blessings of thee. Lord, you've told us that when we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by you, that we would not be condemned with the world. So tonight, Lord, I pray as we study thy word, as it's open before us, that your spirit, the Holy Spirit of thee, would just come and minister to our hearts. And Lord, you know the need that we have, the burdens that we are carrying, the problems that we are facing. Lord, how we need a special touch from you tonight. I think of David, the psalmist of old, who said that we're poor of spirit. And Lord, we pray that tonight you would just bless us and fill our cup to overflowing. I pray, Lord, you give me your words tonight to preach and to help these dear folk that are here this evening. We thank you. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's been said that there are always two sides to every story. Especially as a parent, if you're dealing with children, it's always important to get both sides to a situation. Sometimes a child can slant a situation toward their favor. For example, Johnny hit me. Well, the only thing that one child said, forgot to say, was that he hit Johnny first. And so if we're not careful, we can jump and we can respond to the one instead of the other. It's easy to jump to conclusions based on limited facts. When we view both sides, it gives us a better perspective of what really was going on. Our youngest son, Chad, as we've talked about, as I've shared with you before, he was a pistol when he was little, tiny shaver. He'd go in and he'd antagonize his brother and sister. He knew how to push their buttons. And then you'd hear them call out, "Stop it, stop it." And then he'd be standing in the corner just calling, "Who, me? I haven't done anything." Until one day we decided we should listen and we should watch what's going on. And we heard a little bit of commotion. So we went down and we watched how he was doing things that just antagonized him. I know that you don't do that, Jacob, to your brother. But, you know, you're always the model of perfection and humble. But I know that as brothers and sisters, you know how to push each other's buttons. You just know how to do it. You know, it doesn't matter. Even Xander knows how to push buttons. Amen. I know. I see it all the time with you ladies. He just sits there and smiles at you, and you melt and pushes your button. That's right. So it's important to know those buttons. But to understand, we need to look at both sides. For example, sometimes when people see trials coming their way, we say, you know what? God hates us. And that's where the mindset of some people run. When a trial comes, God is against us. God's on the opposite side. But the other side of the coin is this, is that God's view, I love you and desire to help you, to shape you, to be more like my son. Turn with me. Keep your finger here in Genesis, but go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. Verse 28 we know quite well. It's one that many times people will quote. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those that are the called according to his purpose." It says, "For whom he did foreknow." In other words, he knew. God has foreknowledge. He knows those who are going to respond to the gospel. As he looks down through the quarters of time, he knows those who are going to accept Jesus. He knows those people who are going to reject Jesus. He knows that because he is God. He has foreknowledge. But I want you to look. He says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." And a lot of people put a period right there. And they say predestinate. Well, when you think of predestination, a lot of people say you're predestined to be saved or lost. You don't put a period where there's no period. God predetermined a plan. That's what he predetermined. Notice what it says. He predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what God predestined. He didn't predestine people to be saved and to be lost. What he did is he predestined people to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. He had a predetermined plan. He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to have the same desires. He wants us to have the same love. He wants us to have the same walk like his son, Jesus Christ. For whom he called them, in verse number 29, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He wants to see in us the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And when people look at us, they ought to see the image of Jesus Christ. In Antioch, they were called Christians first. The believers were called Christians. It wasn't saying, you know what, I'm a Christian. That's where some people are today. You know, what do you put on your dog tags? Well, you're a Christian, you're a Baptist, you're whatever you are. No, that's not it. See, Christians was a name that was given to these people. As they looked at them, they could see little Christs running around. Could you imagine? People who walked and acted like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we ought to be if we're truly Christians. In nature, biblical Christians, walking in the order, being conformed to the image of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph's brothers had experienced a difficult situation in this chapter back there in Genesis, chapter number 42. They had experienced a difficult situation. They were treated roughly by a man in authority. They were put into prison. They were accused of being spies. Had their brother Simeon held in prison until they could clear themselves of the charges that they had. They needed to bring Benjamin back and prove that they were not spies. Things weren't going right for them. Have you ever experienced a day when things don't go right for you? See, Pastor, that's about almost every one of my days. Things just don't go right. Well, you know, I hope the message tonight is going to be a help to you then. Because when you stop and you think about these people, as we're going to see tonight, they had some things. They had some difficulties that happened to them along the way. How often do we mistake the blessings of the Lord as being bad because
our inability to reason and see things from God's perspective. We look at things from our limited perspective rather than for God's. The message tonight is entitled, Taking the Wrong Point of View. Taking the Wrong Point of View. We need to let God control our thoughts. We need to let God control our thoughts. People say, I think and I express however I am. We need to let God control our thoughts. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I submit to you tonight, we need the Lord to get a control of our mind and to see things from God's perspective. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 42, beginning with verse number 25, and we see here in the blessing. I want you to look as we go back to chapter 42, verse number 25, and look what it says. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus he did unto them. Joseph's brothers had gone down to Egypt to get corn. If you'll go back to chapter 42, verse number 1, notice what it says. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. Let me just share with you a little bit about what's going on. Joseph was one of the 12 brothers of Jacob, or one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And the 10 brothers, hated Jacob. Joseph, I'll get it right here in a minute. They hated Joseph. God had showed him in a dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. His father loved Jacob, loved Joseph, his son, because Joseph did what was right. He was an obedient son. He was a son who did what the father wanted, and the brothers hated him. The father gave him a coat of many colors. And so they decided one day that they were going to kill him or get rid of him. He was an annoyance to them. He was hindering them from being able to have joy. And he was talking about the fact that they were going to bow down to him. I sincerely have a difficulty with the youngest, or toward the younger. Joseph was toward the younger part of the brothers, that the older brothers were going to enjoy bowing down. You know, the older brothers. Now, the older understand that it's more customary for the youngers to bow down to us. My oldest son, Tim, you heard him preach. And, you know, as he'd like to be in control. You could tell he was like one of these control type people. He was an A-type personality, control. And so when we would turn our, when we, Tony and I would be gone, we'd say, Now, Tim, you're in control. And when he was at that age, he was to be able to watch. I think he was 12 or something like that. You can watch and be in control. So when the door would close, he would tell Chad and Kimberly, I'm in control. You have to do what I say. Well, you know how well that went over with Kimberly. No, I'm not doing what you say. And, you know, he used to try that with Chad. And Chad, you know, like I said, he knew how to push buttons. And so they gave him a good run for his money. I remember one day when Tim and Chad were grown up and they're adults now, and Chad had just kind of grew a little bit. You know, I mean, he's taller than I am. He's like 6'2", and he weighs, you know, a few more pounds. And so, you know, they older brother used to come up and punch younger brother, and younger brother now is bigger than older brother, and you know, he said, don't do that again. And so, you know, you all of a sudden you start listening because, you know, of that. But here the brothers, they hated Joseph. They hated him with a passion. And so instead of killing him, they just decided to sell him. Now, there were times, I got to admit, that I thought about doing that to my older sister. You know, if somebody would, you know, take her, but nobody ever did. So, and she thought of doing that to me. We'd lock each other out of the house. We always had to get things all straightened up, Jacob, before Mom and Dad got home. But that's just how it is, amen? So I expect children to be like children. People say, they got to act like an adult. Really? Did you? Brother Jeff, did you act like? I know that Brother Bobby didn't. But, you know, I mean, he didn't act like an adult. I mean, you know, Brother Dave McCracken, as I was sharing with you this morning, he had some other brothers that were younger than him. And he would get his younger brothers to do all sorts of crazy things. And he said, you know, to one of them, he said, you know, they had a loft and they had where they'd put the hay up there. And they said, you know what, I think you can fly if you just get up there and jump off. You know, he talked his brother into doing that. And, you know, how about William Tell? I think I can hit that apple off top of your head. And, you know, he hit him in the head with a knife. I mean, come on now. You know, how would a brother be that dumb? I don't know. But, you know, sometimes I'll trust you. You know, no. So the bottom line issue is Joseph had things all turned around. Really, no, it was God who had a different idea for them. And so they thought if we just sell him and get him out of the way, then we won't have to deal with him anymore. But you know, that was all part of God's plan. It was sad to be sold. It was sad to be a slave. But God was taking Joseph down to Egypt because God knew that in a short little while that there was going to be a famine in the land. And God knew that down there in Egypt there was going to be plenty of food. And God was going to use Joseph to be the one who was going to be the preserver. And he went down and worked as a slave in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife lied against him, and he wound up in jail. And that while he was down in jail, a couple of the servants of the king had a dream, and he was able to tell the dream, and Joseph said, "Remember me." And you know what they did? Like so many of us, we forget. And for 2 years more he was still there. But you know, that was still part of God's plan. Because he was there where when the king had a dream and they needed somebody to interpret, they knew exactly where to go to get him. And there they brought Joseph up. He told the dream, and Pharaoh was so impressed. He said, "Hey, can we find someone in whom the spirit of the gods is in like this person, who has an answer, who knows what to do? Hey, I'm going to make you second in command." And so here's Joseph, second in command in Egypt. He was doing the king's bidding. And here comes his brothers. Brothers who did not recognize him. Brothers who didn't realize he had great power and authority. But as we read through chapter 42, as we're looking at this portion of Scripture, look what it says in chapter 42. It says in verse 3, it says, "And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came, and they bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth." Remember, he had a dream about that. And they said, "We're not going to bow down to you." Guess what? They did. "And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dream which he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food, and thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men." True men. Yeah, we're only murderers, or we're only sellers of people. He says, "Thy servants are no spies." And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." And they said, Thy servants... are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is with this day with our father, and one is not." In other words, one died. Here's lie number one. Have you ever found that when you tell one lie, you usually have to tell a second lie to cover the first lie? That's exactly as things go on. "And Joseph said unto them, That is it, that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies, hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come thither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into the ward 3 days. Can you imagine? Here they're coming down to buy food. What they expected to buy was food. They didn't expect to wind up in jail, but they are. If ye be true men, as he says, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And as we know from this portion of Scripture, that they bound Simeon, they held Simeon back while they went down. They went back to Canaan. Joseph commanded, as we saw in the portion that we read in verse 25, Joseph had commanded the servants to fill their sacks with corn. That's what they expected. Just give me the corn. We come down with money. We come to expect to buy that. They didn't expect anything more. That's what they paid for. They didn't want anything more. They didn't expect anything less. Let me ask you a question. In your prayers at times, we often pray and ask God to meet our needs. But you know, sometimes God, because of his goodness, gives us more than what we expected. See, when they opened their sacks to give the provender for their animals, and they opened their sacks that night, one of them found their money in the sacks. And you know, God in his mercy and God in his grace just gives us a blessing because he wants to give us a blessing. Because we have a wonderful God. He doesn't have to. He just wants to because he's such a good God. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse number 17. James chapter 1 and verse number 17 in the New Testament. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The Lord is just good. Every good gift comes from above. You know, I feel sad. Sorry, I won't say sad. Sorry for people at their birthdays and Christmas time sometimes. You say, Pastor, why is that? Well, you know, birthdays are a recognition of a special day in the life of an individual. It recognizes the fact that this one has come into the world. And, you know, in a recognition of that, we often give gifts to that particular individual. And we say, you know what, we just hope you have a wonderful day. At Christmas time, you know, because of what Jesus Christ has done, what do? We give gifts one to another because of God's good gift and his perfect gift, which he gave to us, which is Jesus Christ. But you know what? I've heard over the years where people at Christmas time and birthdays and anniversaries, those special days, those special times, they don't give gifts one to another. Can I say something to you? You're a Scrooge. Well, you know, that's just a special time, and I don't give gifts like that. You know, it's a great opportunity to express your love toward one another, to show that that person is special in your heart and life. You know, this portion of Scripture, as we're talking about here, I think it's important to realize that God didn't give them what they expected. God gave them something more than what they expected just because he wanted to display his love. My wife and I, we were just talking about this today. We were talking about Mother's Day coming up here right around the corner, and so I was singing to her, "Happy Mother's Day." You know, she says it's not Mother's Day yet. I said it's Mother's Day all the time. Well, you're the mother of our children, and you know it's a day to be honored. You're a special mother. But you know, one of the things she said, well, we like to enjoy sharing days together. And many times we'll just give gifts to each other just because. No, it's not our birthday. It's not because it's our anniversary, though we try to do something special on those days, because they're special. But just because we love each other. And I submit to you today, we have a God who's just like that, who loves us not because, well, you know what, I'm only going to give you exactly what you deserve. Oh, praise the Lord, he doesn't give us exactly what we deserve. We would all be going to hell. He gives us mercy because of his mercy and his grace. And praise God for his wonderful love to us, giving us gifts just because. Joseph commanded to fill their bags with their money. What a blessing from God. What a blessing from God. Food and money too. They got what they didn't deserve. How amazing. How merciful. You know, how many times has God blessed you with that which you did not deserve? Perhaps you've wandered away from him, and yet he still protects you with his hand. I don't know about you, there have been times when I've wandered away from the Lord. And God, you can just see his hand of protection in different situations where he's protected me. Perhaps God has blessed you even though you failed to stand for the Lord when you should have stood. He still has blessed you anyway. Praise God for the blessings of the Lord. You know, the blessing was there. I want you to see something else that's significant in this portion of Scripture. The blessing is viewed as a curse. The blessing is viewed as a curse. If you look at verse number 26, and they laid their asses with the corn and departed thence, and one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender, and the inn, he spied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? They found the money, and they share the good news. They share that news with their brethren. The Bible says their heart failed. They were afraid. That word failed means to go out, to depart. And they were afraid. The idea here is to tremble, to quiver. They were fearful because of money. Wait a minute. Money was in your sack? It's like God was doing something special. They were trembling in their sandals. They didn't have boots. So they were trembling in their sandals. They didn't see this as a good thing to have their money in their sacks. Rather, they saw it as a curse. They couldn't see God's hand of blessing. Rather, they saw the problem of trying to explain the money in their sack. They missed the blessing. How many of us have missed seeing the blessing of the Lord? We pray to God, and he answers, and then we look for the bad side. You know, people do that. Well, God blesses. Well, now what's going to happen to me? Wait a minute. Do you not understand that God has just blessed you? God has just poured out his hand upon you. That bill that you thought could not be met. God met that bill. Well, something else is going to happen around the corner. Well, wait a minute. If God has been faithful here, cannot God meet your need over there? We have a good God. God wants to show himself and prove himself good on our behalf. They had the wrong perspective. Instead of bringing joy when they saw the money there, it wrought fear. Instead of being thankful, they were what? Miserable. How do you view that? What happens to you when things happen to you? Well, that's just bad luck. Let me tell you something. You're a Christian. You ought to take that word luck out of your vocabulary. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as luck. May I share with you that when you're doing wrong, God says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow bad things, God's going to reap. God's going to give you bad things. You know what's amazing to me is there are Christians who sow wild oats, and then they pray for a crop failure. Well, that's not how it works. What you sow, you'll reap. You see it throughout all scriptures over and over and over again. You see those same principles. What we need to be doing is sowing righteous things, things that are good, so that we'll have a good benefit. Do we look at things that come to us, as we talked a little bit this morning, do we see the things that have been that come to us as from a loving God who has our best interest at heart? I submit to you, folks, if you're saved, you have a loving God. And He wants you to be all that you can be for Him, to bring praise and honor and glory. He wants you to enjoy your Christian life. He doesn't want you just to endure it. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see that they blamed God rather than thanked Him. What is this that God hath done unto us? That's the third point in this portion. They could only see God in a bad light. Even when God did good to them, God is bad. You know, many people look at God in the same way. They look at God as being bad. I shared with you how that I preached on the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the Bible. And if you understand that, you have great, God says you have great understanding when you understand those principles of the fear of the Lord. And a gentleman in our church, Brother Dean, was with me as we went and talked with this individual. He said, I don't like hearing about the fear of God. I said, wow, well, you know, that says something about the heart of a person. But he was looking at things from his earthly father who was mean and nasty to him. And he looked at that and said, well, God, when I think of fearing somebody, I think of my dad. Folks, can I tell you something? We ought to fear and respect God because that's what God commands. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The reason why people don't depart from evil is that they don't fear God. If people feared God, they'd depart from evil. But I submit to you that God is a God of compassion. God is a merciful God. Turn with me to a few scriptures. Go to Psalm chapter 86 tonight. Psalm 86. Psalm chapter number 86. And verse number 15. Psalm 86 and verse number 15. Look what it says. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Our God is a God that's full of compassion. We have a compassionate God. Even those people that were there in Jerusalem at Jesus' time, He looked at them, He says he had compassion upon them. They were as a sheep having no shepherd. They were just running around and going here and there, and they had no one to care for their soul. But Jesus had compassion. Come unto me and all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He was trying to direct them to a place where they could have peace because He has compassion upon people. I submit to you that compassion was not just in that day. He has compassion for you today. We have a compassionate, loving Savior. It's so wonderful to know that there's a God who's on our side. He's not against us. He's actually for us. Turn with me to Psalm 111, verse number 4. Psalm 111, verse number 4. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. God's done great things, folks, in your life and in mine. He is a wonderful God. He has done great and wonderful things, and He's full of compassion for you and for me. Our God is a good God. I was reading this morning in my devotions in Psalm 73. Go over there with me. It's an interesting portion of Scripture. Psalm 73, as I encourage you this morning to read this portion, I would encourage you once again to read Psalm 73. It'll give you some perspective in the day in which we live. The Bible is just as relevant today as it's ever been. Amen. And it will give you some encouragement. It'll give you some peace. It'll give you some hope. And here, Asaph, he was one of the writers here of this psalm. It says, truly God is what? Good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He knows that in his head. God is good. But I want you to read the next verse. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped. He's a believer. He believes in God. He believes God's good. God's good all the time. He says, but my feet are slipping. In other words, I'm beginning to backslide in my thinking. He says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He started focusing on the wicked people. Folks, if you focus on the wicked people of our land today, you're going to be all upset. Just like Asaph was. He says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. They don't seem like they have problems. Really? Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about. They've got pride about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Boy, they're violent. They oppress people. They hurt people. They're mean to people. They don't look like there's anybody that's going to be able to stop any of that. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They've got all the prosperity of the world. They are corrupt and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. In other words, against the Lord. And their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people, God's people, return hither and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. In other words, they just make their life miserable as possible. And they say, how doth God know? And is there any knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And then Asaph begins to look at himself. He says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. In other words, I tried to get the sin out of my life and do what God wants me to do. And I've washed my hands in innocency. I've tried to do what God wants me to do. For all the day long have I been plagued. I've got problems. And I'm chastened every morning. It seems like God is always, he's not prospering me like he's prospering these ungodly, these wicked people. If I say I will speak thus, in other words, I'm going to speak kind words and nice words. Notice what happens. Behold, I should offend against the generation of thy people. In other words, I'm trying to do what's right and people take it wrong. Anybody ever been that way? It doesn't matter. It just seems like you're just getting in trouble every place you turn around. He says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. In other words, why should I keep on living a Christian, a godly life, a righteous life? Why should I keep going there? It's too painful for me. I don't like it. He says, until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. You know where he went to the sanctuary of God? He went to the house of God. He heard the message from the Word of God. And the Word of God helped to get his thinking on track. And to help him to realize all this that's going on. Yes, it looks like the wicked are they can do whatever they want. And there's no bands. There's no restraint. But he went to the house of God. And it was there that he heard the Word of God. And notice what he found out. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Those people are in, God says, he puts them. He said, when I came into the house of God, I heard that God, you know what? You put them in slippery places. The wicked. Boy, they're slipping and sliding all over the place. They're worried about this and they're worried about that. It's kind of like if you've ever gone ice skating. First time I went ice skating, I was on my bottom most of the time, sliding across the ice. I was slipping and sliding. Young people were laughing at me. I was a youth pastor at the time. That's okay. They can laugh at me. You know, you got to be good to the person who's driving you around and paying the bill for your food. Amen? So you've got to be good. But it says, thou castest them down into destruction. One day, it's all going to be settled, my friend. The wicked that are going contrary to the things of God, the people that look like they're going totally against the Word of God and what God says and people that are encouraging abortion and encouraging violence and encouraging being mean and nasty and not respecting authority and all this type of stuff. He says, it sounds like it's just going to go without any restraint. God says, wait a minute. He's going to, those people that are encouraging that, he's going to bring them to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. God's going to destroy them in a moment. And then he turns to himself. Asaph does. As he's thinking about, God, you're going to take care of them. He heard it when he went to the house of God. He heard, got the perspective right. He says, thus my heart was grieved, Asaph's heart was, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I. He was foolish. That word foolish, in the Hebrew, it's the idea of stupid. How stupid was I? Have you ever been stupid in your thinking? Had some stupid thoughts? Boy, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could be like the wicked. Folks, that's stupid. Asaph said, you know, that's what I was. I was stupid in my thinking. I didn't have right thinking. I look at things from the wrong way. Yes, they've got a lot what the world has to offer, but this is their heaven. We have not yet seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We've got something far better that's going to be on for eternity. Praise God. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, with God. Thou hast holden me up by thy right hand. Isn't that a blessing? God holds us up. He's good to us. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire but thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all of them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Folks, what a hope in this day. What a perspective. He needed to have the right perspective. He needed to think on the right things. Hey, God is a good God, and he is in control, and he is going to deal with these situations. And we do have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Praise God for all that God has done and is doing for us. Psalm 25 and verse 8. Go back to Psalm chapter 25 and verse number 8. That'd be kind of hard to go to Psalm 25, verse 8, because there's no 8 in verse number 20. Psalm 25, 8. Go to Psalm 34, 8. Psalm 34, 8. You know what? There probably is a Psalm 25, 8. I was in the book of Job. That's why there was no 25, 8. There is a 25, 8. It says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Good and upright is the Lord. Now we go to 34, verse number 8. Psalm 34 and verse number 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. I need to get in the right verse. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I don't even know where I'm at. Sorry, folks. I'll get 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Praise God. We can trust in the Lord. Those are all good verses anyway, amen? The whole thing's good. You say, Pastor, I'll tell you what, I can't believe you made all those mistakes. Well, let me just tell you something. You get up here and preach, you'll see how many mistakes you make, amen? Brother Bobby, isn't that true? Amen? You can make a lot of mistakes. But how do you view the Lord? The whole point of this message tonight, how do you view the Lord? Is he a God who loves you? Is he a God who loves you? Is he one, you see him as one who wants your best for you, the best for you? Is that how you view the Lord? Do you look at him as delighting in you and you delighting in him? I pray that you do. Or do you see God as one who just delights in making you miserable? Folks, when we have that type of attitude, we've missed the mark. We're like these brothers. When God did something good, you know what happened? I think they focused back on how they treated their brother. And they were expecting God, all the things that happened that seemed to be bad, they looked at that as being a payment for how they treated their brother. You know, you can't do evil and expect to get away with it. You can try to hide it under the carpet, but it's still there. We need to see things from God's perspective. God loves us, folks, tonight. God loves you. And we need to see the things when God does a blessing. Hey, let's do as we said this morning and purpose in our heart and in our will that I will praise the Lord. Amen? I will praise the Lord. I will realize and I will remember and I will rejoice and be glad in the God of my salvation. I pray that that's where you're going to be this week, to rejoice in your God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we've been able to think about your goodness. And Lord, it is so easy for us to get the wrong perspective, to see things from a different point of view, one that's not true. Lord, I pray tonight that you would cause us to realize that you do have our best interest. Even if a trial comes our way, it's to make us strong. Lord, I pray tonight that you would work in our hearts and work in our lives. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would guide us and direct us. And Lord, perhaps we've been guilty of looking at you in the wrong way. Lord, I pray tonight that we'd have a fresh look at our Savior. And Lord, that we would rejoice and be glad in you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. We want to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to have you stand. We're going to sing Just As I Am, page number 270 tonight. Just As I Am, Without One Plea. We always like to give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel, to receive Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, tonight is the opportunity to come and get saved. Tonight, too, if maybe you just want to come to the altar just to tell the Lord how much you love Him, how good He is. When was the last time you told the Lord He was good? Well, He just knows it. He likes to hear it. You say, well, He's God. He knows my thoughts. He still likes to hear it. A book of remembrance is written every time you think on the Lord. But He loves to hear those words, just like you do. I love you. I love you. Brother Scott, come and lead us in that song of invitation. As God speaks to our heart, won't you come?